I want to talk this morning about God's generosity. We're going to start a series, well, we are starting a series now, based on the idea of overflow. At the bottom of the screen there, you can see the word overflow. It's a word that came to me probably 4 or 5 months ago, and I just felt God saying, do a series on overflow. And so you can see today, I'm just going to start with the premise of overflow. Let's think about that verse in the Bible, my cup overflows. When you pour water into a cup or wine into a cup, you stop at a certain point because that's sensible. But with God, he's not always sensible. He wants us to overflow so we can be a blessing to others. So this morning, we're going to start by thinking about God's generosity to us. I'm going to look at it in a weird way, I suppose, but I just felt led towards thinking about God as the good shepherd and how generous God is to us as a shepherd. We'll be looking at that in about 2 minutes' time when I've gone through this slide. Week two, I'm going to talk about financial freedom. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else on all of these. Week three, a generous lifestyle. Week four, an overflowing church. Mark Goodyear is going to be doing that. Who's heard Mark Goodyear preach before? Oh, yes, we got here, yeah, it was a positive yes, not an oh no, but an oh yes, Mark, he's sitting at the back there. That's Mark in the back there in the corner. So it's been a while since Mark's preached here, but I'm excited to hear him preach. So he's made himself available. That was a date he was free, and I said, right, that's your topic. So I don't know if he's struggling for something to say, but Mark, talk about a church that overflows into the community, spiritually, materially, whatever you like, but they're the words I felt the Lord saying. God wants to encourage us in the idea of, and it kind of links in with the building, doesn't it? We can overflow into the community now, but the building is just a vehicle to get us there faster. Overflowing church. And then week five, my dad's going to talk about his specialist subject, the Holy Spirit, and overflowing with the Holy Spirit, or something like that. You can change the title if you like, but it's the idea of overflowing spiritually into the lives of others, into the lives of the church. So we're into a great five-week series here, and I'm expecting that as we preach these things and you take them on board, you will see overflow in your life. As you choose to agree in the heavenlies and agree in your mind with what we're saying over these weeks, you will see a change in the church and you'll see a change in your personal life. But it all starts with knowing God's generosity, knowing that God is generous, knowing that God wants your cup to overflow. Because we get a different image of the church from different, sorry, we get a different image of God from church to church and from speaker to speaker. Depends on your background, on your upbringing, on what kind of experience of church you've got. I heard of one guy who said, I knew I always had plenty. When I grew up, I always had plenty. Because whenever I asked for more, I was told I've had plenty. So, and that was their idea of generosity. You've had plenty. God's different from that. And there are certain people in my life who've demonstrated God's generosity. So the idea this morning is that as we start to get an idea of how God is generous, we're filled with that in our minds and in our hearts, and then it starts to change the way we live, because we're called to be Christ-like. We're called to be like him. Oh, to be like him. And so as we learn about his generosity this morning, I'm hoping and praying that will affect some of our hearts in the way we live our life day to day, tomorrow morning, wherever we go, whatever we do. Some of the people who, just to name them, John Partington, our national leader. We're part of a network of churches, a movement called Assemblies of God. Our national leader is currently a guy called John Partington. He happened to be my pastor for a little while when we lived in Liverpool. He is just a generous person. It just overflows. You go to his house and he just wants to give. He's generous with his time. The first time I even heard his name, my sister was visiting his church, which was then in Bedworth, and she ended up in tears. She was upset about something, and he didn't even know her. I didn't know who she was, but 28 minutes past 10 before the meeting's about to start, he calls her into his office, puts the toaster on, makes her some toast, and just talks, generous with his time, listening to somebody. And then Andrew and I get to know him, and you go out for a drink, and you have to fight your way to the front to pay, because he just wants to pay for people. You go out for a meal. Another guy I mentioned earlier, Steve Atkins, who's going to be helping us with a building project. It's very difficult to pay for anything when you're with Steve Atkins, because he just wants to be generous. I found out later on, well, not later on, I found out during that time while John was our pastor, I was friends with his son, Aaron, and just kind of came up how generous his dad was. And he said, you know what, my dad hasn't actually got that much. People think he's quite rich, but he's not. He's just generous with what he's got. And I just, wow, that's an inspiring lifestyle. And there's been other people in our world and in our life that are inspirational. And they would only be that way with God in their life, being filled with the Spirit and overflowing and living a life of overflow. But I have a tendency just to hold on to things. In my natural state, in my non-spiritual state, I have a tendency to hold on to things, to be like my kids when there's only so many Cheerios left in the cereal box and she's got more than me. You know, you just kind of want to make sure you've got, even if you had enough to start with, but the other person's poured more, then you suddenly think, oh, that's not fair. But you had enough, you were content. Yeah, but that's not fair, they've got more than me. That's not a generous heart. And we're all the same. So I want us this morning to think about God's generosity, and I want us to start in John chapter 10 before we go into another place. So if we go into John 10, we see Jesus talking about his heart for the people. And he's been talking also about Pharisees and other religious leaders. And he might have had a passage in Ezekiel in his mind where Ezekiel condemns the leaders of Israel for being poor shepherds, for not feeding the flock, that's Israel, for not leading the flock properly. And he says, he is the good shepherd. But I want to pick it up in verse 9 where he says, yes, I am the gate. Okay, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. See, in Jesus' time, shepherds in the summer months, they would keep the sheep out at night. They wouldn't take them in. But overnight, they want them to be protected. So they'd build a pen out of rocks, and maybe a circle or a almost square of rocks, and they'd put the sheep in the pen, and then the shepherd would lie down in the entrance. And so Jesus says, it's not a mixed metaphor when he says, I'm a shepherd and I'm a gate. It's the same metaphor, it's the same idea. He's the shepherd who lies down and becomes the gate. So, and they would sort of lay thorns and brambles around the top of the rocks so that predators couldn't come in. The shepherd wants to provide protection for you this morning. He wants you to come and go freely. He wants you to know absolute freedom. I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. Now, to come and go freely, this is where kind of you've got to be careful when you do follow a metaphor through. Sometimes things break down. The term used there is one found in Deuteronomy and in the Psalms, and it's a term that actually refers to the idea of living your day-to-day life. So the reason I'm saying be careful is because it's almost as if you could start analyzing this some sort of allegory where the pen is the church and Jesus is the way in or to the kingdom of God or whatever, and we're going to come and go freely. Well, that's bad, isn't it? We don't want to leave the pen once we're in. But what Jesus is saying is once you've come through me, you can come and go in your life. You can do your 9 to 5. You can do your Monday to Friday freely and know that there's good pastures out there. You're safe with me. You're in. You're safe. And when you need to come in to protection, come through me, come to me. I'll provide the pen, I'll provide the safety. You can fellowship with other sheep in the same situation. That's a wonderful picture of Jesus laying down his life. See, shepherds, actually, it's interesting also to think that shepherds are quite poor. In that society, shepherds are quite poor. So to be generous as a shepherd, it's odd that I would pick the idea of a shepherd being generous. But there's so many ways of being generous that aren't material. Yes, I am the gate, not a closed gate, a gate through which you can pass, an entranceway. Jesus is saying, he is the way. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. Verse 10, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Now, we often talk about that in terms of the devil, and that's absolutely appropriate, but I think also Jesus was talking about some other people in the lives of his listeners who would mislead them and lead them astray. And in our lives, there are sometimes people who will try and mislead us and lead us astray, and that's usually through selfish means. A thief is selfish. A thief isn't thinking of the person they're robbing. They're thinking of themselves. They're wanting to gain things. And so there are people in our lives sometimes that try and do things that are self-centered, but what happens is they rob us of the joy that we have when we are in the pen, we're in pasture with Jesus. But Jesus, by contrast, his purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's what he wants for you. That's his heart for you. I don't know what your view of Jesus is this morning. I don't know how you view God, but my view of God, based on what I'm reading in this Bible, is that he is a rich and generous God, and he wants to bless you. He wants to the point of coming to earth, becoming a human being, and laying down his life so that we can be part of his family. He wants you to enjoy rich pasture. He doesn't want to lead you to a barren place where you're scrabbling around for pasture. He wants you to enjoy safe and rich and satisfying pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, that's the one thing you need to know, is that Jesus sacrificed his life for you. Anything you've done wrong that you feel like, well, I'll never be good enough for God, he's done it all. He's paid the price. You can come in through Jesus, become part of his flock, and enjoy safe pasture. Do that today. I'll make an opportunity at the end if that's what you want to do. So I said maybe Jesus had in mind a text in Ezekiel where the prophet Ezekiel is condemning some poor leadership. But he also might have had in mind Psalm 23, which was written by David 1,000 years before, roughly. So all I want to do now is work through Psalm 23 and just think about together what it is God has done for us. The way God deals with his people is the way this good shepherd deals with his flock, and apply that to ourselves and just pick out some beautiful things that we find here. It says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." We might not have everything we want, and we might think we need certain things, and there are certain things I think I need that I haven't got, but I believe in this scripture, I have all that I need. Sometimes there are things that my kids need, but they don't need them quite today, but they're hankering for them. And so I'm like, yeah, you need that, but you don't need it yet. You know, Sam needs a new phone because there's a couple of Sams actually who need a new phone, I found out last night. But he's going to have to wait. He can manage without it for now. He's going to have to wait until he's saved up a bit more paper round money, but he'll get everything he needs. He'll cope. And there, I know it sounds a bit mundane, but that's exactly the same on a bigger scale with us. You know, whether it's a bathroom conversion or money for college fees or whatever it is you need, you have everything you need in Christ. And I know that's difficult to preach when there's people living in lack, but that is not God's plan for you. And maybe sometimes he takes us through times of lack, and as we'll read later in the passage, sometimes we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We go through these things, but God is with you and he will provide everything you need. He lets me rest. So the second thing we get is rest. We get provision and then we get rest. He lets me rest in green meadows. See, once you know that he's your provider and you actually live in that and believe it, you can rest. You can relax. I was talking to Colin on the way in, just from the pre-service prayer to here, and we were talking about the building project, and he was saying, well, we've done all we can now. All we can do now is pray. And he says, well, you could worry. You could worry if you wanted, just being human and real. We could just sit and worry. And he says, yeah, nothing is accomplished by worrying, but a lot's accomplished by praying. And so you can rest because you know that God is your provider. God will provide for you. So you can rest, and not just rest sort of a bit anxiously, you know, like sitting in a waiting room. You could be in a position of rest, but who know what you're waiting for. you know, the dentist or the doctor for some horrible surgery, whatever it is. You could be sitting in a position of rest. You might even have a comfy chair in the waiting room, but in reality, you're not in a place of rest. But no, he's saying you can rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. That is God's will for you. That is what he wants you to be. So things might be going terribly, but on the inside, you're kind of sitting on a deck chair enjoying life in Jesus. You're at rest, you're at peace. As I said before, in a different talk, there's two totally different questions that sound the same. How are you and how's things? They're two totally different questions. How are you? Glorious, magnificent, at rest, at peace, feeling great. How's things? Terrible. Terrible. Going through a storm right now. But how are you? I'm great. How's things? Terrible. How are you? I'm doing great. He lets me to rest. He takes me to a place where I can be at rest. And the third thing we get there is strength. Verse 3, he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths. So the Lord says that he will renew your strength like the eagles. I could talk for ages about eagles. I'm not going to, because I'm just going to keep going through this psalm, but maybe that's for some of you this morning. You just need maybe even physical strength. You just need physical strength to get through your week. That's on offer this morning. Come to him. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning and I've not had as much sleep as I really think I should have done, you know, I've got to pray and not go into this negative thought thing of, okay, I'm tired now and I'm just going to have a rubbish day. I'm going to say, Jesus, help me today. Jesus, help me today. I need you, Jesus. You can give me strength. You can give me supernatural strength that I need to do today. Not because I'm some religious leader or something. It'd be the same prayer if I was working in a bank or on a building site. Jesus, you can give me the strength I need today. It's on offer. I'm going to do a general appeal at the end for you just to respond, and maybe just one of these words that appears on the screen. We've got provision, we've got rest, we've got strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. So we now have guidance. We've got everything we need, haven't we, in this good shepherd? You know, sometimes you might turn to the left or to the right and wonder which way to go. It could be in relationships, it could be in career, it could be in the way you deal with other people, it could be in all sorts of ways, but God's got guidance for you. You can hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way that I want you to go. Guidance from the Lord. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I'll not be afraid. So we've got provision, rest, strength, guidance. We've got fearless confidence. The darkest valley or the valley of death, whatever you're going through, you're not even afraid of death anymore. Because to die is gain. We don't want you to die. We don't want to die while you're alive. You've got a purpose. While you're drawing breath, you're here for a reason. We don't want you to die. But even death isn't frightening anymore. I don't want to die, but not afraid of death. Fearless confidence. Why? Because you're close beside me. God's presence in your life. Now, some of you might feel far from God, and there was a word earlier about you might feel far from God, but God's still close. God hasn't moved. And sometimes even you haven't moved, but you just go through times when you don't feel his presence, but he's close. He's with you this morning. The Good Shepherd is with you. He is here. He's here right now. To have God's presence in your life is an incredible, incredible benefit. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. So we have provision, rest, strength, guidance, fearless confidence, God's presence. But the rod and the staff for me symbolize protection, correction, and comfort. They're a comfort because it says so in the psalm. But why would a rod and a staff be of comfort to you? Well, it's just comforting to know that they're there, because the rod and the staff might be used for different things. Different people say different things about this. But in general terms, you might be thinking of a walking stick to keep the shepherd steady, which God doesn't need because he's pretty steady as it is, and then a shepherd's crook. But both are used just to ensure that the sheep are on the right track. So there's correction when you take a wrong turn. There are times in my life when I've tried to go down a certain route, and I've found closed doors. They weren't bad things, they were good things, but the doors kept closing, and people who were in the know and knew me and knew the situation said, John, you should have got that job, or that door should have opened for you. And I'm like, well, that's just the shepherd's crook. It's good. It's just the shepherd's, I'm back where I was, but it's the shepherd's crook. I'm back on the right path. That's a comfort to me. When the door shuts in my face, and it's the thing I was hoping for, it's a comfort to me, because I've surrendered my life to the shepherd and I'm asking him to guide me in the right way. And yeah, he might just beat me sometimes because I have gone the wrong way deliberately and I knew it was wrong, and his rod might just, you know. But even that's a comfort. He never lets go. He never lets go. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. So the shepherd has provided, in God's generosity, he's provided celebration in adversity. So whatever you're going through, we were worshiping this morning, and I look around and sometimes I see people with their hands in their air, and I know they're going through things. And I think, yes, this is what God wants. God is pleased. Celebration in adversity, because ultimately we win. Right now, we might win, we might lose the odd battle, we might, you know, have a bit of a struggle, but ultimately, we win. Jesus reigns forevermore. One of the last line of one of the last songs we were singing, talking about Jesus reigning forevermore. It's all good in the end. Hang in there. Celebrate. Like we were saying, Vez was saying, we were talking about it in the pre-service prayer. Praise that makes the devil cringe, because actually we know it's all good. See, the enemy, he kind of wants, at best he wants our worship, but it's unlikely that's going to happen. But so what he'll settle for is just to stop us worshiping Jesus. And he hates it when we worship God, because he hates it when we put God in the highest place in our hearts, because that's exactly what he doesn't want. He rebelled against God. He himself didn't want to worship God, and was cast out of heaven. And he doesn't want us to worship God, but what we're going to do is we're going to praise our way through our circumstances. We're going to praise our way out of whatever we find ourselves in, because God rules. God reigns. Jesus reigns forevermore. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. Mike, we'll stop there. So he gives us honor. You know, whatever you've done, he still wants to honor you. You're his precious child. You're a sheep in his flock, and he wants to honor you. But I didn't put on the screen, we've got the idea of being anointed with oil. The oil can symbolize the Holy Spirit. The oil can symbolize healing. The oil symbolizing anointing. Anointing is talking about being appointed to something that only you can do, that God's got for you to do. Only you can do it the way you can do it. You're anointed to do something. Everybody here is. Now, I might be anointed to preach. I hope so. I believe I am. I don't believe all of you are. Some of you are, actually. But you're all anointed to do something. God's got an anointing for you to do something amazing. It might be just being a really good grandma, or a really good mum or dad, or it might be an anointing to just show love in 4th Street as you walk down the street. But he gives you that anointing, and he places it on you, so that when you do it in his strength, when you do it in the leading of the shepherd, something amazing happens. My cup overflows with blessings. And that's where this whole sermon series starts for me, is this idea of God generously pouring his blessings into us. And it's just ridiculous. Why make a cup overflow? It's wasteful. It's wasteful. But God's a God of infinity. He's a God of infinite resources. One of the words that Helen over there had over a year ago was, don't worry about the building project. There's a well of abundance. I like that. There's a well of abundance. You will draw from the well of abundance. Thank you, God. So your cup can overflow. And in your everyday life and world, you might not actually feel like that's where you're at. But there's a lot of things here. If we look at some of the things we've been analysing this morning, as just pulling out the psalm, where actually we are overflowing. Oh, it's available to us. Whether we're receiving and taking up on it, I don't know, but it's there. My cup overflows with provision, with rest, with guidance. It's there. It's there for me. But God wants your cup to overflow more. And sometimes we've just got to hold our cup out and let it overflow. Why? Why be wasteful? Well, actually, it can overflow into the life of others. So although I'm not a prosperity preacher, I would love there to be some people who God can just trust so much with money that he allows you to have a shed load more of money, because you can bless other people. It can overflow to other people. God's looking for people who he can say, who can I trust to spread money around and to help other people? Who can I trust with some abundant blessing in Brixham so that I can make sure that finance are distributed according to my will, so that heaven is done on earth? And some people say, if you can get it through you, he'll get it to you. So maybe financially there are people who God just wants your cup to overflow, and it's not at the moment, but that's his plan. You know, I don't believe that I have stumbled across an idea of let's preach for 5 weeks on overflow. I don't believe that's a coincidence. I believe the Spirit led me to talk about it, and I don't know who is going to be touched by it, and I don't know if it's financial for all of you, but I actually doubt it's financial for all of you, but I just believe that God wants you to overflow, and it's not wasteful, it's overflowing God's blessings into the life of others. So you've got honour, you've got blessings, you've got an anointing, and surely your goodness will pursue me all the days of my life. God's goodness. It's a relentless goodness. That phrase will pursue me all. See, sometimes we're used to it in the NIV. I've picked the New Living Translation just because sometimes it just refreshes us when we're used to one version, and we're used to surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that's pretty cool. I mean, I like that. It's great. But I like the word pursue. And apparently that's quite an accurate rendering. That God just wants to pursue you with goodness. Stop running away. Believe that it's for you. Believe that he wants to bless you. Hold your cup out. I know some of us have been saying, look, I've been holding it out. My arm's aching. I'm waiting. I know. But I'm just encouraging you that this is a season where God wants to bless some people, and he wants to bless this church. So surely your goodness and unfailing love. So we've got relentless goodness and we've got unstoppable love. Whatever you do, he loves you. And that's really all we need. That's really all we need. As I mentioned, it might have been last time I preached, there was a Sunday school song that I learnt that stood me in good stead for the rest of my life. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. It's all you need to know. Because most of my application of how to apply a sermon is just go away and read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow in it. There's another Sunday school song that is also All You Need to Know, which obviously contradicts what I've said, but all you need to know is Jesus loves me. This I know. That's all you need. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It's all you need. Just spend some time with him. Play some worship music. Book some time with him. Put it in your diary if you have to. Feed from Jesus, because he's got unstoppable love and relentless goodness for you, pursuing you, wanting to overtake you. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, we're back, and we could almost tie that back to the pen analogy of the good shepherd. I'm going to live in that house. That's eternal belonging. You know, that's what a lot of people are craving right now, is just belonging. People are looking for a place to feel they belong, and they're looking for somewhere they they just know they fit in and they're looking for love. And that's it's on offer to us this morning from Jesus. I want to turn the whole thing back on itself now and turn all of this back on you. And looking at all those things that are on the screen now on the right-hand side. Talked about anointing and you being anointed to do something great. If we're to reflect God to our community, to our families, to the people around us, there's some of the ways we can be generous. See, I always used to think that generosity was all about money and buying a round of drinks or paying for a meal, but usually I can't afford to do that. But look how else I can be generous. I can provide someone with rest. How can you provide someone with rest? I don't know. I'm just asking you to think about it. You might be able to strengthen somebody. You might be able to... Now, I'm going to say guidance carefully because don't just give advice willy-nilly when it's asked for. That's the best advice is when it's been asked for. When people just come up to you and give you advice, it's not always very well received. Can you help someone to have fearless confidence? Can you just build people up? Can you encourage people? And what about God's presence? What about your own presence? Just being there. You know, God's... It says in the psalm that the psalmist is happy because he knows that God is with him. But who might be happy because they just know that you're with them? I'm rooting for you. I'm with you. And so on. You can look at the rest of the list of the things that God has done for us that are actually nothing to do with money at all. So we're talking about God's generosity, but it doesn't even have to be financial. And as we experience God's generosity in all of these areas, God challenges us to overflow in our own lives and be generous to others in those ways. And what a community we would be if we fully got a hold of just these things from this one psalm, this ancient psalm that so many people take comfort from. So I want to spend some time praying now and ask you if God has spoken to you and ask you if you want to respond. So I'd like you just to close your eyes. So first of all, there was the idea I mentioned earlier of maybe you haven't even given your life to Jesus, or maybe you have done a long time ago and you want to recommit to Jesus. You want to say, okay, feels a bit weird to call myself a sheep, but I want to make God my good shepherd. I want to make God the manager of my life. I want to say yes to God. I'm going to give my life to Jesus this morning. If that's you, I'd like you to put your hand up right now. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. So I'm just going to say a prayer now. And I want you to just pray it with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you want to be my shepherd. And today I've decided I want to be your sheep. Thank you, Jesus, that you laid down your life for me, and now I'm giving my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. With our eyes still closed, maybe there's some of us who are in the flock, and they're just kind of feeling like, well, I just want to press into more of God's generosity. Maybe there's one word that we've looked at in the 23rd Psalm, all those things there. Maybe you know in your head about God's unstoppable love, but you just find it hard to completely fall back into his arms. You know that trust trick people do, or trust exercise people do, where you fall backwards and someone has to catch you. They do it in drama and in lessons, and they do it in all sorts of experiences. And you just haven't fully fallen back into his arms because you don't really... There's something holding back in trusting him in his unstoppable love. Maybe that's speaking to someone this morning. Maybe there's something else. You're not really believing for his protection. Maybe you've been fighting against the shepherd's crook because you want to go that way. Maybe you're a rebellious sheep. Now, whatever it is, if you want to step out into more of God's generosity this morning, I want to pray for you too. Put your hand up now. Thank you, thank you. There's five or six people. Anybody else? Thank you. Okay, so you can put your hands down. While our eyes are closed, I just want you to be thinking about that area where God is going to show you his generosity and you're going to receive it in a new way. And because of it, you're going to walk in a different way. You're going to leave here different from the way you came in because you've done some business with God, as it was put earlier. So if while you're thinking about that area, the rest of us who haven't put our hands up are going to pray for you as well in their quietness. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the willingness of sheep to follow the shepherd. You said, my sheep know my voice, and we know your voice when it is calling us. And so for those six or seven people who've just put their hands up, just wanting to experience your generosity more, whether it's financial, whether it's your love, whether it's some other thing, Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would break things, break chains. You would pull down prison bars, and you would enable people to know you in a new and exciting way. That this would be, today would be the beginning of a new and exciting journey in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.